Hello and welcome to Speak the Words, a Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mango.
This is a podcast where we are slowly but surely working our way through the story of the Stormlight Archive currently on... the Stormlight Archive and the Cosmere overall, currently on Oathbringer, the third book.
I'm still sick. Yeah, sorry about my weird voice, but anyway. Last time, Rock Family.
Rock Family, yes.
They're all learning how to breathe in Stormlight.
Sigzel was a little intolerant. But
oh yeah, he
says he's gonna work on it.
He doesn't understand gay.
Yep. And other things besides that, but that's the one where Kaladin was like, "Come on, dude, really,
bro."
He's like, it's whatever year it is. I think it's 11-something. 1173 or something. It's 1173. We're past that. we got a Dalinar flashback where we found out that he did not kill that little boy from earlier in the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
good.
That little boy has come back and is now raising hell.
Yeah. Also, one of the bridgemen that had his spine slashed by... damaged by Zeth before.
Legs.
Yeah, his legs slashed.
Yes.
Before.
Yes.
He healed his legs.
Yes, he did.
Which is
very exciting. He sucked in Stormlight. Kaladin is also trying to get Dabid to do it, which is the bridgeman with battle shock. With, you know, a PTSD, essentially. And doesn't really seem like that's working. But he's not giving up on his men. Renarin also had a whole conversation where he was like, I'm the weirdest of the bunch, and Rock just looked over at Relaine and was like, yeah? You're the odd man out? Like, you really think that, Renarin?
He's not even human, man. Like,
Yeah. I actually picked up on something while I was thinking about this episode. Have I said to you that Horn Eaters are the result of, or like offsprings of Parshendi or singers and humans from the way past? I think I've mentioned that before. That's why
I think you mentioned that like a long time ago.
Yes. Well, I picked up throughout that chapter while he's talking, at one point he says that he's listening to something, and he feels like he can almost hear a song that his grandmother used to hum in the wind. And I'm wondering if Rock could, to an extent, can hear the rhythms that the listeners do.
Maybe
if there's just a little bit left over from that. I'm curious, but I just thought about that after we'd already recorded, where I was like, that was an interesting line that, you know, he said he could hear something.
Are the like order of, like, say first son does this, second son does this, did they get that from the singers, or is that just a Horn Eater thing?
I think that's just a Horn Eater thing. I don't remember them in any of the singer POVs from here on out talking about something like that. But also, Rock is getting a novella between books four. Like, that's the next Stormlight thing that's going to come out. So I have a feeling it'll get expanded upon then.
Maybe it was specifically just the singers that were part of that one group that ended up creating offspring with humans. Because obviously, the only way that would have happened, it wouldn't have been just one person. It would have been a group of singers and a group of humans.
Over time.
And so maybe it was just something they developed, because it was like, hey, we don't want all of our kids to go to war. We want, like, societal structure, but we're not the same, so we have to create, like, some sort of order for how stuff is going to work, and maybe that's because we're two separate cultures, and so in order to not have big, like, arguments about how stuff is going to work, maybe that's what they did.
Maybe. I'm very excited for the Rock novella. I hope that it expands a lot on the Horn Eaters, because they're weird, and I'd like to know more.
Is that coming out this year? Is that one of the secret projects?
Probably next year. So this week, we're going to start with my dogs in the background. I apologize if you can hear them. Hopefully you can't. They'll shut up soon. Chapter 38, Broken People. We start with Dalinar's symbol, and we start with the reveal in the epigraph, Mango. Your skills are admirable, but you are merely a man. You had your chance to be more and refused it.
Oh.
Remember, this is a letter from one of the gods to Hoid.
Hoid could have been a shard, but chose not to be?
He refused to take one of them. Yes.
Wow. He refused to take one of the shards, and now he has to clean up after all of their messes to try and keep the universe intact.
Yeah, pretty much. Dalinar entered the next vision into a fight. He fought on the edge of a cliff and unleashed his fury in an attempt to shock his opponents. They're unfazed, however, and end up cutting off one of his hands. Dalinar uses his belt as a tourniquet, and when the Stormfather asks why he doesn't just heal with Stormlight, Dalinar says that it would be cheating. He shouts to his men to slide down the incline to a ledge below to escape their attackers. He jumps first and barely manages to stop himself on the ledge. The others follow him, and some miss, falling into the valley below. Only 7 made it, and of them, only 1 had managed to keep their weapon. Dalinar tells them that they win the war in an attempt to bolster their resolve. Above, a Voidbringer joins the ranks of the enemies, and Dalinar wonders how they had appeared before the Everstorm. He screams for his men to storm up. The cliff face shook as if something huge had struck it, and then the stones nearby rippled. The stone face seemed to shimmer and undulate. Someone grabbed the rim of their ledge from below. A figure resplendent in shardplate, each piece glowing in amber color, hauled itself onto their ledge. "Flee," the shardbearer commanded. "Get your men to the healers." "How?" Dalinar asked. "The cliff." Dalinar started. The cliff had handholds now. The shardbearer pressed his hand against the incline leading up toward the Voidbringer, and again the stone seemed to writhe. Steps formed in the rock. The shardbearer extended his hand to the side, and a massive glowing hammer appeared there. He charged upward toward the Voidbringer. So this, whatever order of Radiant this is, he can reshape stone. Like, he's not soul casting it, like Jasnah would, to create steps. He's changing the stone into steps.
Mm.
Like, he's making it flow to form steps.
Yeah, the Shin wouldn't like that.
No. The men made their way down, and Dalinar drew in Stormlight to regrow his arm. A body rolled down the hill from the fighting above. "Those are humans," Dalinar said. "Obviously. I never put it together before. There were men who fought for the Voidbringers? Some. And that Shardbearer I saw. A herald? No, merely a stone ward. A stone ward. That surge that changed the stone is the other you may learn, though it may serve you differently." Dalinar climbed down the rock face and spotted a large group of soldiers. They were starting to celebrate. Dalinar told the Stormfather to bring Navani and Jasnah into the vision. Navani is awestruck by the vision, but Jasnah immediately notices a Radiant using some sort of device to heal injured soldiers. Dalinar says that he'd heard the Radiant say that it provides regrowth, a type of healing. Navani hurried over to watch and study the device, and Jasnah says that the place doesn't look like any place she's read about in their own time. She notices that the men in this vision bore more rudimentary weapons, even though it took place at the end of the Desolations. Dalinar says that the Radiants were supposed to have stopped humanity from regressing in their technology, that he'd been told that in a vision. She tells him that she's read every account of his visions and thanks him for being brave enough to share them instead of hiding them away. She tells him that she's worried about how he's dealing with the backlash to his heresy. "I don't deny God, Jasnah. I simply believe that the being we call the Almighty was never actually God, which is the wise decision to make considering the accounts of your visions. You must be happy to hear me say that. I'm happy to have someone to talk to, and I'm certainly happy to see you on a journey of discovery. But am I happy to see you in pain? Am I happy to see you forced to abandon something you held dear?" She shook her head. "I don't mind people believing what works for them, Uncle. That's something nobody ever seems to understand. I have no stake in their beliefs. I don't need company to be confident." "How do you suffer it, Jasnah? The things people say about you. I see the lies in their eyes before they speak. Or they will tell me with utter sincerity things I have reportedly said, even though I deny them. They refuse my own word against the rumors about me." Jasnah stared out across the canyon. "I wish I had answers, Uncle. Fighting makes you strong, but also callous. I worry I have learned too much of the latter and not enough of the former. But I can give you a warning. They will try to define you by something you are not. Don't let them. I can be a scholar, a woman, a historian, a Radiant. People will still try to classify me by the thing that makes me an outsider. They want, ironically, the thing I don't do or believe to be the prime marker of my identity. I have always rejected that, and will continue to do so." She reached over and put her free hand on his arm. "You are not a heretic, Dalinar Kalin. You are a king, a Radiant, and a father. You are a man with complicated beliefs who does not accept everything you are told. You decide how you are defined. Don't surrender that to them. They will gleefully take the chance to define you if you allow it." Dalinar nodded slowly. Fucking Yasna's based as hell. I love Yasna so much.
Yeah, I guess she's old enough to be pretty wise now.
Yeah, yeah. She's in her 30s.
Yasna is just wise wisdom incarnate in this.
Yes. And I love how supportive she is of Dalinar.
Yeah.
We'll see more of their relationship prior in the flashbacks.
Technically, he's her stepdad now.
Yeah, now. Now, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they did get married, yeah. Even though, you know, not like, you know. And God, the remainder of God said that they're married, so I think that counts. They split up to cover more ground, and Navani joined Dalinar. He thought of the Tier 4 reunion between mother and daughter when Yasna had returned. She says that the ancient Fabriol is like a soulcaster and that she has no idea how it works. She thinks they've been viewing ancient Fabriols wrong and says she has to prepare a report for the scholars. One of the soldiers tries to point him in the direction of Honor's message, and instead of disobeying, Dalinar decides to go. He feels relieved that he finally has somebody to bear the burden of the visions with, that he doesn't have to go alone anymore. They pass several blackened patches. What could burn rock like that? Other sections looked like they'd been broken by an impossible weight, while others had strangely shaped holes ripped in them. Navani stopped them beside a particular formation where the rock rippled in a strange, symmetrical pattern. It looked like liquid frozen mid-flow. Dalinar found the main battlefield, stretching into the distance with corpses, thousands of them, some in piles, others slaughtered in heaps. Stormfather? This is what Yasna, this is what I told Yasna it was, isn't it? Ahar Etiam, the last desolation. That is what it is called. Include Navani in your responses. Again, you make demands of me. You should not do this. Ahar Etiam, this isn't how songs and paintings depict the final defeat of the Voidbringers. In them, it's always some grand conflict with tremendous monsters clashing against brave lines of soldiers. Men lie in their poetry. Surely you know this. It just seems so like any other battlefield. And that rock behind you? Dalinar turned toward it, then gasped, realizing something he'd mistaken for a boulder was actually a giant skeletal face, a stone monster that had ripped its way out of the ground. Navani stepped up to it. Where are the Parshmen? Earlier, I fought against humans. They were recruited to the other side, I think. You think? During those days, Honor still lived. I was not yet fully myself, more of a storm, less interested in men. His death changed me. My memory of that time is difficult to explain, but if you would see Parshmen, you need but look across that field. Which ones? Navani asked. You can't tell. Not from this distance. Maybe half of those are what you'd call Parshmen. They went closer and found where the corpses of men and Parshmen intermingled. He led Navani to a tall, rocky spire where 9 shard blades were rammed into the stone. Abandoned. But they weren't just shard blades. Navani recognized one as the blade of the assassin in white. They were all honor blades. Navani says that this must be the day that the heralds went to lead the battle in the Tranquiline Halls, but asks why there were only 9 blades instead of 10. The stories are wrong, aren't they? We didn't defeat the enemy for good, as the heralds claimed. They lied. Navani's head snapped up, her eyes focused on Dalinar. I long blamed them for their lack of honor. It is difficult for me to look past oaths broken. I hated them. Now the more I come to know men, the more I see honor in those poor creatures you name heralds. Tell me what happened. What really happened? Are you ready for this story? There are parts you will not like. If I have accepted that God is dead, I can accept the fall of his heralds. Navani settled down on a nearby stone, face pale. It started with the creatures you name Voidbringers. As I said, my view of these events is distorted. I do remember that once, long before the day you're seeing now, there were many souls of creatures who had been slain, angry and terrible. They had been given great power by the enemy, the one called Odium. That was the beginning, the start of desolations. For when these died, they refused to pass on. That's what's happening now. The Parshmen, they're transformed by these things in the Everstorm. Those things are the souls of their dead? They are the Spren of Parshmen long dead. They are their kings, their light eyes, their valiant soldiers from long, long ago. The process is not easy on them. Some of these Spren are mere forces by now, animalistic, fragments of minds given power by Odium.
Wait, Spren are
others
dead
are
people?
More. So...
Or is it just these Spren?
He's using the word Spren to define something else because they're very similar.
So they're not like Spren?
They're not Spren in the same way that we have thought of Spren up until now, no.
Okay. So Odium Spren are not the same as Honor Spren.
Odium has normal Spren, but the Voidbringers are not like normal Spren. Those are people that have died and refused to go to pass on and are just still around as their souls. And I'll explain it once he's done monologuing in detail. Each rebirth further injures their minds. They are reborn using the bodies of Parshmen to become the Fused, and even before the Fused learned to command the Surges, men could not fight them. Humans could never win when the creatures they killed were reborn each time they were slain. And so, the Oath Pact. 10 people, 5 male, 5 female. They stopped this? They gave themselves up. As Odium is sealed by the powers of honor and cultivation, your herald sealed the Spren of the dead into the place you call Damnation. The heralds went to Honor, and he gave them this rite, this oath. They thought it would end the war forever, but they were wrong. Honor was wrong. He was like a Spren himself. You told me before, Odium too. Honor let the power blind him to the truth, that while Spren and gods cannot break their oaths, men can and will. The 10 heralds were sealed upon Damnation, trapping the Voidbringers there. However, if any one of the 10 agreed to bend his oath and let Voidbringers pass, it opened a flood. They could all return. And that started a desolation. They were tortured, weren't they? Horribly. By the spirits they trapped. They could share the pain because of their bond. But eventually, someone always yielded. Once one broke, all 10 heralds returned to Roshar. They fought. They led men. Their oath pact delayed the Fused from returning immediately. But each time after a desolation, the heralds returned to Damnation to seal the enemy again. To hide, fight, and finally withstand together. The cycle repeated. At first, the respite between desolations was long, hundreds of years. Near the end, desolations came separated by fewer than 10. There was less than 1 year between the last two. The souls of the heralds had worn thin. They broke almost as soon as they were caught and tortured in Damnation. Dalinar knelt. "It is not so bad as I feared," Navani said. "The heralds, they were honorable. Perhaps not as divine, but I may even like them more to know they were once just normal men and women. They were broken people, but I can start to forgive them and their shattered oaths. It makes sense to me now as it never did before." "The Voidbringers who did this, they are the ones that are returning now? Again?" "The Fused. The souls of the dead from long ago. They loathe you. They are not rational. They have become permeated with his essence, the essence of pure hatred. They will see this world destroyed in order to destroy mankind. And yes, they have returned." All right. I'm going to break this down into simple terms. So we know everything exists in the three realms, right? Physical, cognitive, and spiritual.
Yeah.
When somebody dies, if they were invested before death, they persist in the cognitive realm for a short time before they fade away to someplace beyond. So like, think of it like a battery, that as soon as your physical body starts to, like, dies, your cognitive self, the battery starts to drain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when this happens, a shard has the opportunity to grab that person during this in-between moment and pump them full of investiture, which would cause the person to persist even longer. So what's happening here is that the Fused have a...
That's how the returned work.
We'll get to that in a second. What's happening here is that the Fused have a direct connection to Odium, which essentially allows him to continuously recharge their battery with investiture so that they never fade away. Something similar is happening with what we saw in Warbreaker. Honor mentioned something called Future Sight at the end of Way of Kings, which is essentially an ability that shards have to look into the future, but it's not a predetermined future, but it's more the infinite possibilities that only a shard would be able to comprehend.
Well, actually, with the return, it's like she's pumping them full of investiture, but it's only temporary. And in order for them to persist, they have to take other people's investiture.
Boom. I didn't even have to explain it. That's how it works. She pumps them full of investiture and then lets them go. Now, presumably what's happening is that, and this isn't confirmed, but this is what makes the most sense, is that Endowment is using her future sight to see all possibilities of the future and is very good at reading it. And so she is picking people that she sees could possibly end up in an important situation down the line and having them return. And that's why they need to take in more breath. It's also kind of explains why Vasher is able to stick around on Roshar even though nobody there would have breaths. He's just using a different form of investiture to keep going.
Instead Which of is?
Presumably he has a way to transfer Stormlight into something that he could use, but it's not, like, we don't know.
What's her name?
Lift?
Yeah.
How Lift is able to convert energy into different types of energy in a way? Yeah. Presumably Vasher has discovered some sort of way to convert Stormlight into other forms of investiture, which would be a very valuable thing in the Cosmere, because investiture, Stormlight is very easy to get. So if you could figure out how to turn that into any other form of investiture, that would be very helpful for people that use other forms of investiture.
Also, Urethiru literally has a giant fused bunch of different gems. So you could just literally take all those, divide them into like pieces, charge them up with Stormlight, and then give them to people to use to stay alive.
You could. I would not recommend that you did that to that giant pillar of gemstones.
Is there something inside the giant pillar of gemstones?
You will find out what the giant pillar of gemstones is next book. But I would recommend that we do not fuck with it. So yes, that is how the fused work. So he refers to them as Spren because Spren are investiture, right? That's all that they are. And that's technically what your cognitive self is. Like, there's nothing physically left. It's kind of just your investiture that retains memories of you. It's investiture that's been shaped by your existence. So it's kind of like Spren, but it's... I wouldn't call them Spren. I would call them a different word.
Also, are later on, because there's like the legend of the One and how all people are part of the One. Are Spren basically like a representation? Like, humans are to the One as Spren are to shards.
I know very little. I think the One is a much bigger deal than has yet been revealed. I have a different theory as to what the One is, and we'll get to it. And it's nothing like it's an out there theory, like pulling a bunch of other things together. So
but the One is not. I need more context in order for it to make sense.
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of other context. Back to the actual story. Ahar Etiam, Dalinar said, was not really the end. It was just another desolation. Except something changed for the Heralds. They left their swords. After each desolation, the Heralds returned to damnation. If they died in the fighting, they went there automatically. And those who survived went back willingly at the end. They had been warned that if any lingered, it could lead to disaster. Besides, they needed to be together, in damnation to share the burden of torture if one was captured. But this time, an oddity occurred. Through cowardice or luck, they avoided death. None were killed in battle, except one. Dalinar looked to the open spot in the ring. The nine realized that one of them had never broken. Each of the others at some point had been the one to give in, to start the desolation to escape the pain. They determined that perhaps they didn't all need to return. They decided to stay here, risking an eternal desolation, but hoping that the one they left in damnation would alone be enough to hold it all together. The one who wasn't meant to have joined them in the first place. The one who was not a king, scholar, or general. Telenalot, the bearer of agonies, the one abandoned in damnation, left to withstand the tortures alone. Almighty above, Navani whispered. How long has it been? Over 1,000 years, right? 4,500 years. 4.5 millennia of torture. Silence settled over the alcove. Dalinar, feeling weak, sat down on the ground beside Navani's rock. He stared at those blades and felt a sudden irrational hatred for the Heralds. It was foolish, as Navani had said, they were heroes. They'd spared humanity the assaults for great swaths of time, paying with their own sanity. Still, he hated them, for the man they had left behind. The man? Dalinar leaped to his feet. It's him! The madman! He really is a herald! He finally broke. He has joined the nine who still live. In these millennia, none have ever died and returned to damnation, but it doesn't matter as it once did. The Oath Pact has been weakened almost to annihilation, and Odium has created his own storm. The fused do not return to damnation when killed. They are reborn in the next Everstorm. How could they defeat that? The madman, the herald, he came to Kolinar with a shard blade. Shouldn't that have been his honor blade? Yes, but the one delivered to you is not it. I do not know what happened. I need to speak with him. He was at the monastery when we marched, wasn't he? Is this what caused the Radiance to rebel? Navani asked. Are these secrets what sparked the Recreants? No, that is a deeper secret, one I will not speak. Why? Because were you to know it, you would abandon your oaths as the ancient Radiance did. I wouldn't. Wouldn't you? Would you swear it? Swear upon an unknown? These heralds swore they would hold back the Voidbringers, and what happened to them? There is not a man alive who has not broken an oath, Dalinar Kholen. Your new Radiants hold in their hands the souls and lives of my children. No, I will not let you do as your predecessors did. You know the important parts. The rest is irrelevant. Navani wants Shallan to do sketches of the Honor Blades in the vision to try and locate the others. A man came up to them and fell to his knees before the Honor Blades. Then he looked to Dalinar and spoke with the Almighty's voice. Unite them. Was there nothing you could do for the Heralds? Was there nothing their god could do to prevent this? The Almighty, of course, couldn't answer. He had died fighting this thing they faced, the forest known as Odium. He had, in a way, given his own life to the same cause as the Heralds. The vision faded. And that is the end of the chapter. What is the deeper secret that caused the Recreants? You want to see some fashion?
Yes.
This is from a like a shopping catalog almost, or like a fashion like catalog.
Yes.
And I just sent the image to you. Though fashion elites in Leofor have presented more daring designs in past folios, they've found there is no quicker way to influence Alethi and Vaden styles than through subtle changes over time in the traditional Vorin Hava. So this is what the dress that they all wear looks like. And you can see the safe hand there.
Yeah, and what are the ones below it?
The ones, like, to the side?
Yeah, like the first one is the one that she's wearing, but the second and third ones.
I think those are, like, ones that they're trying to get out there. Like, this is like, come on, we can do some new fashion stuff, but the first one is, like, the more traditional look.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 39, Notes. The epigraph reads, oh, this is a Shallan symbol, by the way, but the epigraph reads, "No good can come of two shards settling in one location. It was agreed that we would not interfere with one another, and it disappoints me that so few of the shards have kept to this original agreement." Shallan is in a meeting of the Radiance, where Jasnah has volunteered her to take notes. Dalinar, Navani, Jasnah, Renarin, Shallan, and Kaladin were all in attendance. Adolin and Elokar were away visiting Taravangian's army, and Malada was working the Oathgate. Jasnah insists that Shallan be the ones to take the one to take the notes, saying that it's an important part of her training. Everyone was sitting, except for Kaladin, who leant against a wall, looming like a thundercloud. She tried not to blame him for the murder of her brother. "So," Kaladin said, "according to the Stormfather, not only is the Almighty dead, but he condemned 10 people to an eternity of torture. We call them heralds, and they're not only traitors to their oaths, they're probably also mad. We had one of them in our custody, likely the maddest of the lot, but we lost him in the turmoil of getting everyone to Yirithiru. In short, everyone who might have been able to help us is crazy, dead, a traitor, or some combination of the three." He folded his arms. Figures. Jasnah and Kaladin argue over what to do about the Parshmen. Kaladin says that they aren't their enemies, but Jasnah is insistent that their leaders are intent on human extinction. Kaladin says that they should focus on fighting the Fused instead of crushing innocent people, and Jasnah tells him to visit Dalinar's visions to see the consequences of a soft heart. Dalinar steps in, asking if Kaladin truly believes that there's a chance for accommodation. When Kaladin says that he isn't sure, Dalinar says that he can't shy away from war. That somebody innocent always ends up in the middle of a conflict they didn't ask for. And Kaladin tells him to reconsider his other wars instead of using them to justify this one. Dalinar says that defending their homeland is the right thing to do, and Kaladin agrees, saying that he's going to join Elokar in going to Kolinar to open the Oathgate there. Dalinar says that once Kolinar is secured, he will negotiate with the Voidbringers and try to end the war without more conflict. Jasnah disagrees with this approach, and Dalinar pretty much tells her that they'll cross that bridge when they get to it. He says that Kolinar has become a dark spot to the Stormfather, and Navani adds that all Spanreads inside the city have also failed. Dalinar says that Kaladin should take a small force of Adolin and Windrunner squires with him and Elokar to infiltrate the city. Jasnah says that they're not being ambitious enough, and Dalinar says that they need to take it one goal at a time. Renarin agrees with Yasna, saying that they can't afford to not think big when fighting something that killed God. Dalinar asks if she has a plan. Yes, the answer is obvious. We need to find the heralds. Kaladin nodded in agreement. Then, we need to kill them. What? Kaladin demanded. Woman, are you insane? The Stormfather laid it out, Yasna said. The heralds made a pact. When they died, their souls traveled to damnation and trapped the spirits of the Voidbringers, preventing them from returning. Yeah, then the heralds were tortured until they broke. The Stormfather said their pact was weakened, but did not say it was destroyed. I suggest that we at least see if one of them is willing to return to damnation. Perhaps they can still prevent the spirits of the enemy from being reborn. It's either that, or we completely exterminate the Parshmen so that the enemy has no hosts. She met Kaladin's eyes. In the face of such an atrocity, I would consider the sacrifice of one or more heralds to be a small price. Storms, Kaladin said. Have you no sympathy? I have plenty, Bridgeman. Fortunately, I temper it with logic. Perhaps you should consider acquiring some at a future date. Listen, Brightness. Enough, Captain, Dalinar said. He gave Yasna a glance. Both fell quiet. Dalinar tells Yasna that her plan is too risky, but that finding the heralds is a good idea, and leaves that task to her. He says that Navani has been researching the Unmade, and Yasna asks Kaladin if his men are willing to at least fly around and act as scouts to track the Voidbringer movements. Dalinar pretty much agrees for Kaladin. Excellent, Yasna said. Uncle, your coalition of monarchs is a superb idea. We need to pen the enemy in and prevent them from overrunning all of Roshar. If... She trailed off. Shallan paused, looking at the doodle she'd been doing. Actually, it was a bit more complex than a doodle. It was kind of a full sketch of Kaladin's face, with passionate eyes and a determined expression. Yasna calls for a small break and pulls Yasna aside. A fine depiction of the young captain. I see 3 lines of notes here, after you were pointedly instructed to take the minutes. We should have sent for a scribe. We had a scribe. To take notes is not a lowly task, Shallan. It is a service you can provide. If it's not a lowly task, then perhaps you should have done it. Yasna closed the sketchpad and fixed Shallan with a calm, level stare. I understand that you have enjoyed independence. What you accomplished here is remarkable, Shallan. You even seem to have earned my uncle's trust, a challenging task. Then maybe we can just call the wardship finished, eh? Shallan said. I mean, I'm a full Radiant now. Radiant, yes. Fool, where's your armor? Armor? Yasna sighed softly, opening up the sketchpad again. Shallan, I'm... impressed. I am impressed, truly. But what I've heard of you recently is troubling. You've ingratiated yourself with my family and made good on the casual betrothal to Adolin. Yet here you are with wandering eyes, as this sketch testifies. You skip meetings that Dalinar calls. When you do go, you sit at the back and barely pay attention. He tells me that half the time you find an excuse to slip out early. You investigated the presence of an unmade in the tower and frightened it off basically alone. Yet you never explained how you found it when Dalinar's soldiers could not. She met Shallan's eyes. You've always hidden things from me. Some of those secrets were very damaging, and I find myself unwilling to believe you don't have others. Shallan bit her lip, but nodded. That was an invitation. To talk to me. Shallan nodded again. She wasn't working with the Ghostbloods, that was Vale. And Yasna didn't need to know about Vale. Yasna couldn't know about Vale. Very well, Yasna said with a sigh. Your wardship is not finished, and won't be until I'm convinced you can meet minimum requirements of scholarship, such as taking shorthand notes during an important conference. Your path as a Radiant is another matter. I don't know that I can guide you, each order was distinctive in its approach. But as a young man will not be excused from his geography lesson simply because he has achieved competence with the sword, I will not release you from your duties to me simply because you have discovered your powers as a Radiant. Yasna moved to sit next to Renarin and attempted to get him to speak with her. Pattern says that Yasna is wise and that something about the room is odd, that it has memories. Shallan wonders if that's related to Shadesmar and writes a note to Yasna about it. The other woman agrees to investigate it later. The meeting continued, Yasna pushing to get the Shin to join them so that they would control the Oath Gates on the furthest western and eastern points of Roshar. Shallan simps over Yasna some more, admiring the way that she pushed herself into conversations that were reserved for men, while also being one of the most beautiful women that she had ever met. It made her feel inadequate. She realizes that she missed out on 15 minutes of notes while simping, and at the end of the meeting showed her notes to Yasna, who just tells her to have copies made to be sent to Navani and Elkar's head scribes. Shallan left the basement of Yurithiru, reflecting on how different things were now from when she had first arrived in Carbranth. When she returned to her room, she found a note in Vale's coat. You have accomplished the task we set out for you. You have investigated the Unmade, and not only learned something of it, but also frightened it away. As promised, here is your reward. The following letter explains the truth about your deceased brother, Nan Helleran, acolyte of the Radiant Order of the Skybreakers.
Oh.
And that is the end of the chapter.
Oh.
And I think we have time for one more.
Yes.
Chapter 40, Questions, Peak, and Inferences. The epigraph reads, "As for Uli Da, it was obvious from the outset that she was going to be a problem. Good riddance." The letter reads as followed. There are at least two major institutions on Roshar, other than ourselves, which presaged the return of the Voidbringers and the Desolations. You are familiar with the first of these, the men who call themselves the Sons of Honor. The old King of Alethkar, the Blackthorn's brother, Gavilar Colin, was a driving force in their expansion. He brought Meridas Amaram into their fold. As you no doubt discovered upon infiltrating Amaram's mansion in the war camps, the Sons of Honor explicitly worked for the return of the Desolations. They believed that only the Voidbringers would cause the Heralds to show themselves, and they believed that a Desolation would restore both the Knights Radiant and the classical strength of the Vorin Church. King Gavilar's efforts to rekindle the Desolations are likely the true reason he was assassinated, though there were many in the palace that night who had reason to see him dead. A second group who knew the Desolations might return are the Skybreakers, led by the ancient herald Nalan Elin, often simply called Nail. The Skybreakers are the only Order of Radiance that did not betray its oaths during the Recreants. They have maintained a continuous clandestine line from ancient days. Nail believed that men speaking the words of other orders would hasten the return of the Voidbringers. We do not know how this could possibly be true, but as a herald, Nail has access to knowledge and understanding beyond us. You should know that the heralds are no longer to be seen as allies to man. Those that are not completely insane have been broken. Nail himself is ruthless, without pity or mercy. He has spent the last 2 decades, perhaps much longer, dealing with anyone close to bonding a Spren. Sometimes he recruited these people, bonding them to High Spren and making them Skybreakers. Others he eliminated. If the person had already bonded a Spren, then Nail usually went in person to dispatch them. If not, he sent a minion. A minion, like your brother Helleran. Your mother had intimate contact with the Skybreaker Acolyte, and you know the result of that relationship. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but Shallan, when she had her flashback to when she killed her mother, there was a strange man in the room that had urged her mother to kill her. Mm-hmm. It was a Skybreaker Acolyte, because Shallan was starting to form a bond.
But he didn't want to do it himself because she was a child? Or?
I think she already killed him. Oh no. The dad walks in and stabs the guy as he's going to kill Shallan, and then Shallan uses the shard blade when her mother picks up the knife to finish the job.
Wait, so he convinced the mom to let him kill Shallan.
Yeah.
Her dad kills the guy. The dad stopped him.
Yeah, then, or at least wounds him.
So her mom picks up the knife to kill Shallan, and then Shallan kills her mom.
Yes, with the shard blade.
But was it? It was with her own shard blade.
Yes.
Okay.
She had already manifested a shard blade at that point.
Dang, she was pretty far along at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then she suppressed everything and forgot that she could do anything.
And now she is. She's also kind of had to re-swear these oaths that she had once sworn, but yes. Your brother was recruited because Nail was impressed with him. Nail may also have learned, through means we do not understand, that a member of your house was close to bonding a Spren. If this is true, they came to believe that Helleran was the one they wanted. They recruited him with displays of great power and shards. Damn, man, that's a sentence that means a lot more to me right now. That... Okay, man, Sanderson really did plan all this stuff with Shallan.
Okay, wait, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They recruited him to be a Skybreaker.
Yes. Because a member of the house was close to bonding a Spren, and they believed that Helleran was the one that they wanted. But Helleran didn't join the Skybreakers until after all this stuff with Shallan and her mom.
So they thought another person was bonding a Spren?
They thought that there was another Spren bond about to form.
And so they just gave up on killing Shallan?
They, I can't talk anymore about this. I have to raffle you from here on out, but this makes sense to me now. But yes, you should be going, what the fuck, this doesn't line up. Because it doesn't. Until you learn some more stuff. If this is true, they came to believe that Helleran was the one they wanted. They recruited him with displays of great power and shards. Helleran had not yet proved himself worthy of a Spren bond. Nail is exacting with his recruits. Likely, Helleran was sent to kill Amaram as a test. Either that, or he took it upon himself as a way of proving his worthiness for knighthood. It is also possible that the Skybreakers knew someone in Amaram's army was close to bonding a Spren, but I believe it likelier that the attack on Amaram was simply a strike against the Sons of Honor. From our spying upon the Skybreakers, we have records showing the only member of Amaram's army to have bonded a Spren was long since eliminated. And he's talking about Tien.
No! Tien!
Yes, Tien had been in the early stages of a Spren bond when he died.
No!
And Sanderson Tien! Has said that he would have been a Lightweaver, like Shallan, and the lie that he was he didn't think he was a good person.
Tien didn't think he was a good person?
Yeah. Tien didn't think he was a good person.
Why?
Yeah.
But why?
Sanderson hasn't really gone into it too much, but when asked what he was having trouble confronting within himself, it was that he didn't think he was a good person.
So he pretended he was a good person, but he didn't think he was?
Yeah, he didn't want to confront it. Like he deeply inside of himself, he felt that he wasn't a good person, but he was pushing it down and repressing it and not thinking about it. The Bridgeman was not, so far as we understand, known to them. If he had been, he would certainly have been killed during his months as a slave. And that is the end of the letter. Secrets, Pattern said. There are lies in this letter. So many questions. Who else had been there on the night Gavilar had died, as the letter hinted? And what about this reference to another Surgebinder in Amaram's army? She couldn't deal with this at the moment. She snuck from the rooms as Vale. Vale went to the barracks where her men were playing cards. She grabbed a mug of beer and joined them. Tough day, Vata asked. Yeah, she replied. Shallan's been an even bigger pain than usual. The men grunted. It's like she can't decide who she is, you know, Vale continued. One moment she's cracking jokes like she's sitting in a knitting circle with old ladies. The next she's staring at you with that hollow gaze, the one that makes you think her soul has gone vacant. She's a strange one, our mistress, Vata agreed. Makes you want to do things, Gas said with a grunt. Things you never thought you'd do. Yeah, Glurv said from the next table over. I got a medal. Me. For helping find that mess hiding in the basement. Old Kalin himself sent it down for me. The soldier shook his head, but he was wearing the medal, pinned right to his collar. It was fun, Gaz admitted, going out carousing, but feeling like we were doing something. That's what she promised us, you know, making a difference again. The difference I want to make, Vata said, is filling my pouch with your spheres, you men betting or not. They continued playing a game, and Gaz asks how long they think Shallan will go before remembering this time. Vale wins at the game, and Gaz wants to keep playing, but is out of money. He says that he could go get a loan from Dalinar's guard, but Vata told him no. Instead, they played for fake money, which wasn't as fun. She turns her attention to Shallan's problems. Mareza told her about the Skybreakers and Sons of Honor, but she was more interested in what he was up to. Hey, Vale, Vata said. What do you think? Has the Brightness already forgotten about us again? Maybe. She doesn't seem to know what to do with you lot. She's not the first, Red said. I mean, it's not like we're real soldiers. Our crimes are forgiven, Gaz said with a grunt, but forgiven ain't forgotten. No military will take us on, and I don't blame them. I'm just glad those storming Bridgemen haven't strung me up by my toes. Bridgemen, Vale asked. He's got a history with them, Vata noted. I used to be their storming sergeant. Did everything I could to get them to run those bridges faster. Nobody likes their sergeant, though. Yeah, fuck you, Gaz. Though you were an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were the perfect sergeant, Red said with a grin. I'll bet you really looked out for them, Gaz. Shut your creme hole, Gaz grumbled. Though I do wonder. If I'd been a little less hard on them, do you think maybe I'd be out on that plateau right now? Practicing like the lot of them do? Learning to fly? You think you could be a Knight Radiant, Gaz? Vata said, chuckling. No, I guess I don't. He eyed Vale. Vale, you tell the Brightness. We ain't good men. Good men, they'll find something useful to do with their time. We, on the other hand, might do the opposite. I mean, we might get into trouble. I like being useful. Reminded me of back when I first joined up. You tell her, Vale. Tell her to give us something to do other than gambling and drinking. Because, to be honest, I ain't very good at either one. Vale nodded slowly, then grabbed a passing washwoman and ripped off a wig that she was wearing.
What?
It was the girl from the alley who had wanted to join the Ghostbloods, Ishna. Vale tells her to sit, and the woman joined them at the table, embarrassed. Vale asks why Ishna is spying on her so badly, to which Ishna points out that this isn't the first time she's done it. Just the first time that Vale caught her. She says that she hasn't been spying on Vale for long, and promises that she could be more valuable than the soldiers. Vale drags Ishna away from the table and towards the doorway. She compliments Ishna on the disguise and gives her pointers on how to pull it off better next time, then asks why she should care about Ishna. The girl says that she was trained as a spy for a house in Vama's court. She'd ended up out of a job after the Ghost Bloods had her Bright Lady killed. She asks Vale to let her prove herself. Vale realizes that she could learn how to be a better spy from the woman, and tells her that she needs a support team for her missions, and tasks Ishna with training her soldiers to be spies. Ishna agrees, but says that she doesn't think that they'll be any good at it. And that is where we will stop for tonight.
Interesting.
You have an idea of, like, what the Returned are now, beyond just, like, people that came back from the dead, and you have a connection to Stormlight in it. Similar things are happening here.
Yeah.
And similar things will continue to happen.
Weird multiple realms of existence stuff.
Yes. Vasher has a whole fucking existential monologue about it in book 4. about what it means to even be alive at this point. And it's a fucking great monologue. It's really good. But
does he remember who he was before he was a return?
No, he also doesn't know what his purpose for returning was. He has not yet encountered it.
He's been around for hundreds of years, learning how to convert power into other power. Still doesn't know what it was for.
Yep. And that's not including all the shit he did on Noltis beforehand. Like, when you think of Vasher, you have to remember, dude started on Noltis, went through a bunch of shit on Noltis, left, traveled to Cosmere, came back, did a bunch more shit on Noltis because Nightblood is fashioned after the Shard Blades. So he, at some point, him and the other scholars must have come to Roshar, seen Shard Blades, and went, let's make those back on our planet. So he came back to Noltis, did a bunch more shit, and has now ended up back on Roshar again, doing whatever he's doing.
What the hell?
Vasher has had a very fucking long life of doing some things.
And he still doesn't know why.
And he still doesn't know what his purpose is. Next time we're gonna find out where Teft has been.
Also, it's kind of weird that both Nightblood and Vasher are on Roshar right now.
It is weird, isn't it? No. What happened?
They traveled to Roshar, and Vasher was like, I am sick of you, I'm getting rid of you.
But then how did Nail get it, is what I want to know.
He's Nail.
Like, yeah, well, like, what I want to know is if there was a fucking badass fight between Nail and Vasher, where Vasher was like awakening a bunch of shit. Like, I want to know what happened. Did he give it to Nail? Did Nail take it? Did it go through multiple people before it got to Nail? I was like, what the fuck is this thing? That's mine now. Thanks. He's like, what the fuck is that? All right, mine. But yeah, next time we're gonna find out where Teft has been, and we're gonna check in with Moash.
Fun.
For now. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at SpeakStormlight. Email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. We have a Discord server. The link to join that is in the episode description. Follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. Follow our good friend Alex, who did the cover art, at Alex_BigBoy on Twitter. Links to everything is in the episode description. Life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination.